Masechet Eduyot Perek He Mishnah Bet. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yose Omer, Shisha Devarim Mikule Bet Shamai Umehumere Bet Hillel. Says Rabbi Yose, there are six other topics that we could count with the Mahlokot that Bet Hillel is more strict and Bet Shamai is more lenient. On a Torah level, having meat and milk together is a problem, but that's only on actual meat and milk. But poultry, chicken, turkey, with dairy would only be asur derabanan. So the machloket here is going to talk about how far do we go with that derabanan of chicken, poultry, and dairy. Ha'of ole im hagevina ala shulhan ve'enon e'echal kedivrei Beit Shammai. Poultry is allowed to be put on the same table with cheese or other dairy, but it's not allowed to be eaten together, even if they were not cooked together. As long as they're eaten separately, it's okay according to Beit Shammai. Ubet Hillel omrim eno ole ve'eno ne'echal. But say Beit Hillel, the poultry is not allowed to be put onto the same table as cheese because we're nervous that eventually it's going to lead to mixing regular meat with dairy products. And of course, it's not allowed to be eaten with cheese. The second machloket we'll have here has to do with terumah. Terumah, which is the produce that's separated in Eretz Yisrael and given to the Kohanim. A person is not allowed to take terumah from one product for another. For example, he can't take terumah of wheat on behalf of barley. Question becomes, what about processed and unprocessed forms of a singular variety of produce? Is that permissible? Mishnah says, Tormim zetim shel shemen va'anavim al yayin. You're allowed to separate olives as terumah for olive oil and grapes as terumah for wine. Olives and olive oil are from the same item, both from olives. And wine and grapes are from the same thing. So therefore, even though they're different forms of that same item, Beit Shammai, Kedivrei Beit Shammai hold that they're permissible. You can do that. Ubet Hillel omrim en tormin. But Beit Hillel say, no, you're not allowed to separate olives as terumah for olive oil or grapes for wine because unprocessed is different than processed. Grapes are different than wine, and olive oil is different than olives. The third mahalakah we'll have is about a grapevine. A grapevine that is planted too close to actual grain is a problem of kil'e ha-kerem, kil'ayim, and both have to be burned. If the grapevine was part of a full vineyard, then that entire vineyard has to be burned. The question becomes, what is a vineyard? How do we describe a vineyard? If a person's part of a major field, we're not going to say that you have to get rid of the whole field. So what is considered to be a singular vineyard? Hazorea arba amot shebekerem, Beit Shammai omrim kidesh shura ahat. If a person planted grain within four amot of a vineyard, and the vineyard has two or more rows, Beit Shammai says that one full row of vines opposite the grain has to be burned, it becomes prohibited because a single row is considered to be a vineyard. Ubet Hillel omrim kidesh shete shurot. Ubet Hillel say no. Two rows of the vineyard are considered to be a vineyard opposite the grain, and therefore that's the minimum size that has to be burned. The Torah gives us a mitzvah of challah, that on every dough or bread that's made, a portion has to be given over to the Kohen, and only the Kohanim are allowed to eat it. Question becomes, what about a certain type of dough called me'isa that is made by taking flour and adding it to boiling water and then cooking it until it thickens and then they put it into an oven in order to bake it? Ha-me'isa, Beit Shammai potrin, Beit Shammai exempts the me'isa from the mitzvah of challah because it was cooked before it was baked. And according to them, once something is already cooked, baking it afterwards doesn't obligate it in challah. Ubet Hillel mehayevin. Beit Hillel requires that challah be separated from it. As long as it's baked afterwards, it's considered to be bread. Next machlok is about a mikveh. Matbilin behardelit. Kedivrei Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai hold that you're allowed to dip something, a utensil, into a mikveh of rainwater that's running down a mountain. As long as there's a combination of 40 se'ah of water from the top of that stream on top of the mountain to the bottom, it's considered to be a kosher mikveh, and you can dip a utensil in there. Ubet Hillel omrim en matbilin. Beit Hillel say, no, you're not allowed to dip a utensil in that type of stream. In order to be considered to be a mikveh, you need 40 se'ah gathered in one spot. every member of the Jewish people has to take part in the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. In the Beit HaMikdash, they would slaughter the Korban Pesach on the afternoon of Erev Pesach, which is the 14th of Nisan. The meat is then taken and eaten that night by the Seder. A person who converts to Judaism is also obligated to take part in the Korban Pesach. But if somebody converted on the day of the of Yud Dalet, on the day that the Korban is brought, we have a machloket if he could participate in the Korban Pesach. Ger shintgayer arve pesachim. If a person converted to Judaism on Erev Pesach, he got the milah on that day. Bet Shammai omrim tovel ve'ochel et pischo la'erev. Say Bet Shammai, he dips into a mikveh to complete his conversion right then on Erev Pesach, and then he could eat the Korban Pesach that night. Ubet Hillel omrim ha'poresh min ha'orla ke'poresh min ha'kever. Say Bet Hillel, no. If somebody gets a brit milah, he's like he's separating from the kever. A convert who gets a brit milah and he separates from his foreskin is like somebody who separates from a grave. In other words, when a person separates from a grave, he becomes tameh because he's involved with a human corpse and he's not allowed to eat any kodashim until he purifies himself with the mehatat, with the water of the para aduma on the third and the seventh day of his tuma. So the rabbis were nervous. They said that also a person who converted to Judaism is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach right away. He has to go through a seven-day purification process first after he completed his conversion. They were nervous that maybe the person here, while he was a non-Jew, the day before had contact with the corpse. And that contact with the corpse wouldn't make him impure because he was non-Jewish at the time. So the following year, he may also have contact with the corpse and not realize that it was a problem. Because he says, you know what, last year I had contact with a corpse and I ate the Korban Pesach the day later after I converted. Not knowing that there's a difference between a Jew and non-Jew with Tum'a and Tahara. The following year he'll be near a corpse and he won't get the proper purification process. So Hachamim said, you need to go through the proper purification of 7 days after the conversion to make sure that the person is fully Tahor in order to allow him to eat from the Korban Pesach. The fact that he completed his conversion on Erev Pesach doesn't allow him to eat from the Korban.